everyone. Welcome to another Behind the Wheel podcast. I am Luis from Koenig, and we're sitting here with one of my favorite drivers in Formula Drift, the one and only Hooman Rahimi. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Exhausted.
Yeah?
Yeah, man.
It's only day four for
yeah.
you?
Well, so there's one more day left, but I would say this much. I am fooded out.
Yeah?
So much, way too much food. And for some reason, everybody wants to drink, and I just...
Why? In Vegas, you just some reason.
Exactly. But so the other day, I went out to a party at my hotel.
Yeah.
And let's just put it like this. I ended up entering a dance battle and
yeah.
got second place. What's
nice.
Up?
Nice. Okay.
That's what I do.
What kind of dancing? It was ballroom, right?
Ballroom dancing.
Nice.
I did a little twerking.
Okay.
You know, all the
oh,
above.
Nice.
You know
man, what I mean? that's what I expected.
Yeah. You
Nothing
know?
Less from you.
I'm a pro at that. But so how are you enjoying SEMA so far?
Oh, this is my first time. So I'm
first time.
Yeah, I've never actually been. Every year I'm like, oh, I should go. A couple weeks ago I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do it this year. I'm gonna go. So, you know, it's
nice.
a little expensive, but I'm here.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. But that's why you come here. I think
yeah.
one of the cool things about being here so far for me is the people that you get to see, the
yeah.
hands that you get to shake, also a lot of cool ideas that people come up with, which there's some cool ideas in this table that we're not going to talk about just yet, but it's eventually going to happen, hopefully. And yeah, that's what I've gotten from a lot of people here. Even the other day, I had Stefan Papadakis just sit there with me.
Yeah?
No clue that I'm fanboying out myself over here, but I'm just like, hey, what's up,
Hi.
Man?
Nice.
So what's, as far as like SEMA, because I want to talk about SEMA so
yeah.
far, what is the favorite thing that you've done so far when it comes to just the show itself?
For me, it's meeting some of the people I've been emailing and talking to on the phone I've never met in person. That's like a big thing. Like I've literally, you know, a lot of my partners like I've never met ever in person because, you know, it's always like on the phone or whatever. So just like being in their presence so they know, you know, who they're dealing with. That's cool.
Yeah.
The other part for me is poker. I'm a big
oh.
poker player, so I enjoy Vegas because the poker games here are a little bit more spicier and kind of helps. It's my FD 2023 budget that I'm working on. So,
sorry. I
yeah, you're good.
I was in it. I was
yeah,
in it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the
nice.
That's the fun part for me at night.
So do you get to go to Vegas a lot, or is this just a...
I have not been in, like, 10 years.
Ah.
So this is my first time in a long time. So most of the time, I only get to play, like, some of the local, like, closer casinos, or if it's an FD event that has a casino nearby, I'll stay at the casino and get to play, you know. But, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know that. See... multifaceted, multi-talented
yeah.
man over here. You know,
I've done some a lot of underground poker back in the day. Like when I was in college, I used to play like a couple times a week in some underground games, and then I got robbed, and that changed everything.
It.
Yeah, so we yeah, I got robbed at gunpoint. It was horrible.
Oh,
I got
man.
Tied up and. Yeah, it was sketchy.
Like legitimately
like,
tied up.
I mean, I could tell you the whole story if you really
Yo,
want.
No, please
it.
Tell
All
me.
Right, so. Worse. So,
okay.
it was like in an apartment complex, gated community. We're playing in an apartment. Someone goes out to smoke. Next thing you know, like four people bust in and they're like, put your hands on your head. You know, like everybody's got guns. One guy has a baseball bat. And we're just like, oh.
Now, how much money would you say was in that?
So that was back... like 20 years ago. I mean, I was like 18 when I was playing.
Okay.
And we were buying in between $300 to $500.
Uh-huh.
And there was like probably 20 people there. So, you know, probably oh. not more than like 10 grand or so, maybe
yeah.
more.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
they were getting... So what they did is like, they came in, everyone, they were like, empty out your wallets, throw your you know phones, everything in these trash bags. I was at a point in my poker career where I was getting staked by the guy who ran the game. So I wouldn't have any cash in the game. So I was like using his money and we were splitting profits
yeah, yeah,
at the end of
yeah.
the night. So I didn't lose any money, but I had money in my pocket. But back then I had like a cigarette case
yeah.
where I kept my like credit cards and stuff. And like I pulled it out and they're like, it's that shit. And like threw it on the ground. And like, I'm like, yes, like, thank you.
Jeez.
So then like literally I didn't lose anything that night, but they tied us up. So they started tying people up
oh
and they
God.
Brought rope, but they ran out of rope. So they started grabbing extension cords from like the lamps and started tying people up with like lamps. So we're carrying around a lamp and like we're tied up. And then he starts throwing us all in like the back room and the back bathroom. We're like, can't, like 20 of us packed in like sardines. And he's like, don't turn around. And like, we're all standing there for like what seems like forever. We're like, I think we are good now. Like, I think they're gone. And then there was like, I remember the funniest part was, I don't know if funny, but there was this Jamaican guy that was there and he had like a yellow Hummer and they took his keys and he was like, I would just say that he was talking about like getting his gun and chasing down, like he was not happy about the situation. Yeah. So after that, I was like, no more underground games. I play in casinos. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, so after that, I was like, I'm only going to play in legit games. Like, it's just not worth the risk. Like, as much as I enjoy it, like, it was like, it's a really fun game. Like, I really recommend it. It's like, it's not gambling. It is, but it's not. Like, it's like, it's a skilled game.
So that's why
I love it. It's one of my passions.
You know, it's funny because I had a buddy of mine who did the same thing. He would do exactly that, illegal games, and eventually it gets to the point where it gets big too.
Yeah.
He was starting to get bigger with it and everything. Yeah. Same thing happened to him. He got busted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it was done.
It wasn't worth it.
Yeah, wasn't worth it for him.
Every time it happens like that.
Yeah. But aside from that, you know, let's talk about your program next year. Now, one of the things that I noticed is, so are they still capping FD like pro spec, or is it next year? Is it this year that they're opening it up again, or is it next year?
This year. So I think they have, it's either 41 or 51 drivers available to register.
Okay.
I don't know how many will actually register, but it seems like all the people that I know that I've talked to that are on the list are like pretty, you know, confident that they're gonna do it.
Yeah.
There's some people that are new that I'm excited to see, you know, what they can do. I think part of it will be like a challenge if you like just put out a crappy run or something, but like that's part of it. Like, don't put out a crappy run. Like, and I say that to myself too, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm talking to myself when I say that, like, don't put out a crappy run, like lay down like a solid run. It's good for the sport, because there were like some events where like five drivers like broke their cars and there weren't even 32. So I think it's okay. Like, it's a little probably on the high side, so it depends.
Yeah,
usually in pro spec there's some people that are figuring it out and break.
Yeah.
So there might not be that many by the time it goes to qualifying. So maybe it's only like, you know, 5 or 6 guys or 10 guys out, not like 20, because 20 is probably too many.
Yeah.
So. But we'll see. Like, we'll see how many people show up and actually drive and that sort of thing. But I think having better drivers, like, have it progress, it's great.
Yeah. So now another thing that I've always been curious about, like, in this downtime, for example, this is probably one of the things that you do in your downtime, kind of make connections with people, and also in the automotive industry, just try to expand your program or whatnot.
Yeah.
But as far as yourself, the Human team, what are you guys doing? I know there's some changes as far as you having even a marketing manager now.
Yeah.
What is new for the Human team, and what should we expect when it comes to 2023?
So honestly, like, my downtime right now, last week I was at Import Alliance.
Nice.
Or actually it was Slide Factory, because it was a Halloween bash, and then it was Import Alliance before that. And I've been just driving. Like, I've been driving and driving and driving and driving.
Didn't you just win also like a 5K or something? Or?
No, I won I got second place in the Riverside 50K a while back. But no, I've just been like driving.
Your
as
driving's
much as
been
possible.
Phenomenal,
like, yeah,
man.
I
know you're in that pocket right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost 100% positive that 2023 you're going to do a lot better.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. That's why I'm asking you these questions too.
I mean, like, for me, it's funny. I always drive better at non-FD events, and it really
it's the pressure, man. People don't realize it. Pressure is real.
I'm just having so much more fun and relaxed at these other events, and like in FD, I'm just like, you're wearing the gear. And then you're like, okay, I got to do this. And sometimes it makes me drive great, and then sometimes I just like, I do stupid stuff. Like, it gets
in
the head.
So my
goal
next
year
is
like comfort, and then we're I have tentatively like 13 or 14 events scheduled that I want to go to, pending, like, we have to get all the schedules and make sure that what doesn't overlap and what logistically will work, because if something's in Utah and the next week it's in Nashville, that may not be, you know, an easy option. But so that's the plan, is to drive as much as possible. We're working on basically getting as much budget as we can so that we can attend all the events we want to and get, you know,
yeah,
have fun. I don't know.
For sure.
You know? Yeah. So
and you were saying that. So as far as like I know you're going to be... So the reason why I asked this is because someone like a Taylor Hall, he does like clutch kickers as well, as well as he's doing FD and he does other events. Is that what you're going to be doing as well, or are you just sticking to like
one series? My plan is to do Riverside again, and
They're growing too, man.
There may be more Riverside events.
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to do more of those because that's really close to me.
Yeah.
It's only 3 hours from my house, so that's nice. Then I want to do like the big festivals like Grid Life, Hyperfest.
Yep.
I want to do Import Alliances,
nice.
LS Fest, and then the FD events. And then there may be a Clutch Kicker or something like that, like squeezed in, but those are going to be more like I'm doing Clutch Kickers next weekend, actually. Mm-hmm. It'll be my first one I've ever done, The car was together. We're on a open time. I'm like, let's go down and party and see what's up, and you know, good. But the problem is that one's so far. Like, it used to be a little closer. Now it's like a 12-14 hour drive. That means I gotta sleep Thursday, you know, like I gotta leave an extra day just to get there. So that's like a bit of a challenge, which, you know, budget, like it's really budget and time, which sometimes budget isn't really dollars spent, it's dollars not made.
That's what
people forget. It's like when you're not working, you lose.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't realize. When you're, especially in the automotive industry, you don't make a lot of money in doing this stuff sometimes. Some of the stuff that you're doing is straight out of passion.
Yeah.
I noticed that I talk to a lot of people and they're always telling me, you know, I don't really get paid to do this. I'm like, but the reason why we got to do stuff like this, like what we're doing right now,
just
the conversation alone, hopefully attracts someone that maybe want to invest in your program or whatnot, you know, and that's
shoot me some DMs.
It's important, man. I think we got to support
slide
each
in.
Other. For sure. But I think that's important. It's awesome that you're expanding and you're going to different things. And I think that, like, even just when you're doing the Riverside and stuff, it helps you with the pressure, because a lot of people focus on one event and then the pressure gets to them and then they crack, you know. So it's good to see
We're
that you're doing
not
more
to crack.
Stuff. Yeah.
No
for
cracking
sure,
this
sure.
year.
No.
Only cracking jokes.
Any good dad jokes you got for me?
I got some. I don't know.
You don't
want to
whip them
some.
Out? You don't want to whip? No, tell me one.
I'll give you one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
This is good.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did the bartender tell the hot dog and hamburger that walked into his bar?
What did the bartender tell the hot dog and hamburger that walked into the bar?
Yeah.
No clue.
Sorry, we don't serve food here.
All right.
Is that, exit left? Exit left? Like, you gotta go.
That was good. All right.
I tried to do a Who Could Laugh First with Kelsey, at Utah, like the last round.
Yeah.
And we both sucked. Like, no one laughed. Like we did it for like 10 minutes. We're like,
all right,
all right, that's like just shut it down. Shut it down. Like, there's no more need for this. No one wants to watch us not laughing.
I can't.
So.
All right, last question I have for
you.
So you got to see some of the new wheels.
Yeah.
You got to see the Forge line. You got to see the Ultragram.
Yeah.
What do you think so far?
I like them. I think they pop. I'm excited about the Forge stuff. I know, they're nicer. Drifting, it's going to be different, to spend a little bit more on wheels. But I'm still, I was wishing I saw a white wheel and, some of the new designs. You know, I like white. It's just been my...
Well, it looks good.
Yeah,
it does. It looks good on the D7, man.
And
it looks good.
It pops. It goes with... It looks great on my car because of the colorway, but, it looks good on a lot of cars.
Yeah.
Like white, when you see white wheels, everyone's like, damn. You get those, neck turns. So, hopefully, we'll see a white color get dropped in or something like that in the future, but... I'll try to slide into the DMs and get some white out there. But
well, we love you, so
most
likely if you want it, we might make it.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm special. So,
all right, Hooman, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. You're
Thanks
always
for
a pleasure,
me.
My brother. And we'll kick it soon.
We'll see you. Bye.
Peace.